more time with all our heart now. Let's raise our hands to our God.
And all I want to do is love Him. So glad I feel His love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary.
Thank you, Father.
So every day my heart will praise Him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love Him, love His holy name.
You ever heard the story about the man and the woman that were fighting on the way to church and had a big old argument? And the man got to church and he's just praising the Lord like normal, just acting like nothing ever happened. He's up at the front having a good old time at the altar. The wife ended up writing a little note saying, "How can you worship God like that after what we went blah blah?" And you know, sitting there giving her a little story, sent it up to her, said, I might have been fighting with you, but that had nothing to do with what Jesus did. Jesus didn't do me no wrong. I don't gotta stop worshiping because of circumstance. I'm not worried about the circumstance. Jesus never did me wrong. Why wouldn't I worship Him just the same as any other day? You say, I don't feel good. What does that have to do with it? Oh, this happened to me, this happened to me. What did Jesus have to do with that? He only does the good out of it, doesn't He? Oh, that was terrible. And then if you just give it to the Lord a little while, you watch it bring glory to His name. How many's happy for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's give Him a hand clap. Amen. Before I forget, Brother Josh Tucker will be here this weekend. If you didn't remember that, Friday night we're going to have service at 6:30 and Sunday at 12. Brother Josh. So keep him in prayer. I know he's a good brother. I love him a lot. I'm glad to have him here with us. Let's open our Bibles. I'll still be preaching this Wednesday though, the Lord willing. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. John 14, 19. John 14, 19. Still hear the pages turning, so we'll wait. That's fine. John 14, 19. Jesus speaking, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also." Going into the seventh seal today, I'd like to preach the seventh seal, both opened and closed. The seventh seal, both opened and closed. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we approach this topic, Lord, that the prophet said changed his life, Lord, when you begin to show him these things. Father, and as you begin to show us these things, it changes our lives, Lord, from glory to glory. You're changing us, Father. We pray that we would just yield to the Holy Spirit this morning. You'd be able to take us, Lord, and just mold us that next step, Lord, that little shaving off of the world that still might be there, that little attitude we might have packed to church this morning. We pray that this Word of God would come and take every little evil thing out of our lives. We want to be pure before you, Lord. Lord, let us be men of integrity, women of integrity, women of character, men of character. Not of our own selves, not of something we worked up, but Lord, your life moving within the people. I pray, Father, that you just bring us another step higher. Forgive us where we failed you, Lord. You know in our hearts, we don't try to fail you. But time and time again, we let Satan talk us into this and talk us into that. But we're grateful to have a God that knew we would make those mistakes and went to the cross and paid the price for it before we ever did it. We're grateful for you this morning, Lord. We invite you, Lord, to come, speak through my lips, hear through our ears, and let us receive the word into our hearts. Praying this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. you ever listen to Brother Branham preaching the seven seals, or go and read the books, you'll notice that the first six seals, Brother Branham is very plain. He has a very direct interpretation. He just lays it right out there, and you can see exactly what he's getting at. But when it comes to the seventh seal, there's a mystery that's left there because it's not given to everyone. And I want to get into this. Brother Branham makes it very clear that there's something he sees that he knows. Even when the whole seals is going, he knows something is happening. But as he looks around, he can tell the people don't see it. Imagine the man of God as he stands in the presence of God and God begins to show him these things. How he must feel when the Spirit told him, stop here. It's not time yet. How times we need to learn to check up on those things. You say, well, I got the revelation of this. That's fine. You might be right. But is it the right time to express that?
Amen.
Is it the right time to tell brother so-and-so what he might be doing wrong? Look, there's a time and a season for everything. And it comes the same with this seal here. First thing I want to emphasize before anything is that this seal is open. To those that want to, the seventh seal is open. Don't let nobody tell you that we're sitting here waiting for Brother Branham to come back and really give us the interpretation of the seventh seal. That's hogwash.
Right.
And if you really want to be real strict, the Bible said the seventh seal was open 2,000 years ago.
Right.
But the revelation was given in this last day. We're not waiting for it to come, and it has come. The revelation seventh seal is here among the Word.
Sure. Amen.
Let me just prove that to you. I've got a bunch and I'm going to read a lot. Is that all right this morning?
Amen.
Questions and answers. This is the first session in 64. Can't remember how many did, but he did at least, I think it was four times. He says, and then when I did that, and then I went just exactly a little bit after that, and the angel of the Lord appeared to me saying, go out to Arizona yonder. I heard that blast go off and went there. And what was it? That boy dreamed a dream just exactly right, and the Lord gave the right. Remember I said, there's something I'm going there for. Why he was heading out west. He said, there's something I'm going out there for. And when I went there, it was the mystery of the seven seals. Didn't say six.
Amen.
The mystery of the seven seals. That was sealed up on the inside of the mountain of the Lord. Come right back. You hear me this morning? Come right back with the opening of the seven seals.
Amen.
Questions and answers. Third session. And now, the opening of the seven seals that was given by the Holy Spirit, the seven seals only was to make known what has been left off in the dispensations behind us. I'm going to make sure that we walk out here going, yeah, the seal's supposed to be open this morning. The seed is not air with the shuck, 65. We must be about the Father's business. The wheat would cry back, the grain, yes, sir. What must it do? Vindicate, Malachi 4. Vindicate, Luke 17, 30. Vindicate, Hebrews 13 and 8. Vindicate St. John 14, 12. Vindicate all of his word. Vindicate Revelations, the 10th chapter of the opening of the seven seals.
Oh, amen.
And the mysteries of God. Now watch this. Even to serpent seed, and all would be manifest. Marriage and divorce and all these other mysteries that's been hid under the pillars for all these years from the theologians and so forth. But now, it's now the hour.
Amen.
And this was in 65. That's the Father's business. Who is this Melchizedek? Think of that great person, of how great this man must be. And now the question is, who is this man? Theologians has had different ideas. But since the opening of the seven seals, the mysterious book that's been mysterious to us, according to Revelations 10, 1-7, all the mysteries that's wrote in this book that has been hid down through the age of the reformers is supposed to be brought out into view by the angel of the last church age.
Amen.
So if we hold these things to be true, that William Branham was the prophet of God, that he was Malachi 4 fulfilled, Luke 17, 30, that he was the seventh angel to the seventh age.
Amen.
True.
This has to be open.
That's right. It is.
Amen.
What house will you build me? Speaking about Brother Jack Moore, he says, the message, I think, kind of baffled him a little, especially on some of the things that we hold dear and believe, that it came to us through the opening of the seven seals as we believe it.
Amen.
He's saying, the reason where we are right now in time, we're not in the dispensation of the Pentecostals. We are in something else, and what is separating that is the opening of the seven seals. And if there isn't a message that can emphasize what these seals are about, there's no way you're preaching the message of the hour because you're in a glare of another age. This age is the age of the opening of the Word, which was sealed up with seven seals, but no longer.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
But no longer. Visible union of the Bride of Christ. The apostles, them who set forth the Bible. Here come Luther out in Reformation. His words that his church won't work today. Wesley won't.
Right.
Pentecostals won't.
Right.
It worked in their day, but it's another day. This is the opening of the seven seals.
Amen.
Letting us seek in deep and true. I know it sounds strange to you, but God has vindicated it so perfectly. There's no question in it. Just perfectly. I ain't scattering that to the local assembly here. I'm speaking to the people out across the nation. Do what you wish to. So this wasn't, he wasn't holding this back and saying, oh, okay, I'm only going to give it to this group. No, this is the message of the hour.
Amen.
What are the seven seals? What is it all about? What was the word trying to show in this last day? Was it just to give us some idea? Oh my, now I can read Revelation 6 and I know what it's talking about. That's good. It's good to be able to read the Bible and not go, man, I have no clue what that red dragon is. I don't know what these candlesticks are all about and all that. That would be confusion. And God don't dwell in confusion. He dwells in peace.
Amen.
He dwells in understanding of His word. So He sent us the truth, but there's a meaning behind all of that. His whole intention of why He allowed this to happen and why He waited to the end time.
Amen.
To allow this to be. Marriage and divorce, just to seal the deal here. But now that the seals are opened.
Yes.
What else do you want Brother Branham to say? He didn't say, now that only the six seals are open. He said, now that all the seals are open. The Spirit of Truth directs us to the Word.
Amen.
That explains why all these mistakes has been done, or has been down through the ages, because the seals was not open. This was not revealed. It's true. So now it is. He's saying there was a time when this wasn't revealed. That's why they didn't understand serpent seed. That's why they didn't understand who's Melchizedek. That's why they understand marriage and divorce, what it was all about, because it all ties together. And without the seven seals being open, you're heading a little northeast or a little southeast. You're never going to head straight east because you can't see clear enough.
Right. Amen.
It's like me trying to go straight all the way out there and tell you where that's at. I can't see it. I don't have my glasses on. Oh, if we'll let the word come on to our eyes. And what's nice about the word, it isn't just some glasses you take on and off. Your eyes become changed.
Yes.
To where now what they used to see is gone. And they've had a little tweaking done. What do they call that now? Laser eye surgery. Let's just put it that. The Holy Spirit, the light of the word, comes into your eyes and it changes it. Makes it single. So that all you can see in life anymore is Christ.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit's meant to do.
Amen.
Now, I said it was both open and closed. So let me emphasize that now. Many think that the seventh seal is not open, and here's why. Let me show you what Brother Branham said here. This is out of the seventh seal. Now, I better stop right here. See, I just feel checked not to say no more about it. See, so just remember the seventh seal, the reason that it was not open, see, the reason it did not reveal it, no one should know about it. Most people stop there and go, oh, not open. And then I go, well, did you read anything after that? Did you read any sermon that came after that one and see what he had to say about it afterwards? Let's actually finish the quote. Is that all right with you this morning?
Sure.
Let's not do what most people want to do and come up with these crazy ideas. Here, let's read this one quote and then let's go build an entire experience off of it and completely ignore what the Bible has said about it, what Brother Branham even said he was trying to say through this. And I want you to know before I even knew any word about it, the vision come years ago. You remember that. And here it is, just the other half. Slide right into that word, into the word just exactly where it was. And God knows my heart, I never one time thought of such a thing as that. And here it was. It's later than we think. Oh my, just shows it's from God. It fits exactly in the promise of God from the end of the message. You notice now, for the end time message, this seal. After all, he's been revealed all the sixth seal, but he didn't say anything about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Do you see what he's getting at now?
Yes.
It's because it's a secret.
Amen.
And remember, Revelations 10:1-7, at the end of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God's would be known. We're at the end time. The opening of the seventh seal
takes
place one paragraph after that.
Amen.
Now let me skip down a little ways and you can see what Brother Branham is trying to say here. Why did he say it's not given at this time? Seventh seal, paragraph 397. Now, we have a completion here now by the grace of God, all the mysteries of the six seals that's been sealed up. And we understand and know here that the seventh seal is not to be known to the public.
Amen.
This is why it is opened and closed.
Right.
The seventh seal is the mystery of Christ. It is who he really is.
Amen.
And without that seal being opened, there would be questions. There would be, well, maybe he's still kind of a Trinity. Maybe he's a God afar off and he's not nigh. Maybe he's kind of the same yesterday, today, and forever, but just a little different. But no, once the seventh seal begins to open, you begin to see what this is about. All of that fades away and you get to see a clear picture of who he is.
Amen.
But this revelation was not given to the public. Now the other six, yes. Other people could read those, and actually you'll find other men that have thought the same thing.
Sure.
Because remember, the message didn't come to bring new things. It came to show us what was true in all this denominational mess and what was all false.
Right.
So yeah, it pulled one thing out of Swindley, one out of Knox, one out of Luther, but it didn't take the whole thing now.
Right. Amen.
And my, that's where we go off. We want to emphasize on something other than what God has given. God has given the message of this hour through his prophet. You will not get a revelation of this time under a different dispensation or looking ahead to one to come. You need to recognize God now.
Amen.
He is the I am. Never does he want to be known as the I was or the I will be, because even when he said that, he said and now right in the middle, doesn't he? Yesterday, today, it's still there, and forever. Just in case you thought maybe that might change down the road. It won't. He always is.
Amen.
63, questions and answers on the seals. And then, also knowing that right among you, things are happening, see, that I know you... that you don't see it. I know that you don't see it. See, I'm just as positive that you don't see it. See, and you say, Brother Branham, that's a hard thing for you to say that. I know it is, but look, let me just say this now. I suppose this is tapes for ourselves and so forth, but let me say this, see, that you don't get it, see? And you're not supposed to get it. So don't try to interpret anything, see? Don't try to put your interpretation to it. You only go further away. A lot of times we get very tempted in this. The second we don't understand something, we have to go, well, I need to understand this. And instead of just having faith that God would show you what it means, we go and try to make it work out.
Amen.
And by the time you're done, you realize, wow, I'm further away from God than I was before I went down this rabbit trail. I wish I would have just said what the prophet said and go, you know what, I might not understand this, but it's truth anyhow. I still believe it, and God will bring the knowledge to me when I need it.
Amen.
Sometimes when we get off these rabbit trails, we might actually do something for the Lord once in a while.
Right.
Sitting there trying to dig out something that ain't meant for the time, and you're ignoring the guy down the street that God wants you to go witness to because you're too worried about this thing that you think is a big problem, and it's
right.
Not.
Amen.
Now, Brother Bram didn't leave that way. That was in question and answers, which we know is right before he preached the seventh seal that night. Brother Bram says this in the seventh seal. Then... when I seen that, I looked for the interpretation that flew across there, because remember, he said it's in a threefold manner, and we will get into that here in the weeks to come. And I couldn't make it out. That's exactly right, friends. See, the hour isn't quite yet for it, but it's moving into that cycle, see?
Sure.
It's coming up close. So the prophet saw the opening of the word. He said, I seen it. He said, but I couldn't make it out. It went by too fast. He said, but we're moving in that cycle now. And don't forget the promise, what the word said. He said, in the voice of the seventh angel, these mysteries must be finished. So if you're saying that the seventh seal is still not revealed, I guess the word failed.
Sure.
Or you need to find the real seventh messenger.
Wow. Amen. Wow.
Because the Bible promised it, and if God said it, it will be fulfilled.
Amen.
Another thing that fools people is they think that the seven thunders, which is what was Revelations 10, 1 to 7 is talking about, they think the seven thunders and the seven seals are two different things and they don't go together. So they're still waiting for the seven thunders to really come. You know, they kind of came, but we need to wait for them to really come. You see how that's the devil always does things. He either push it all back on the prophet and say, oh, it was all back there, and we're just walking in the dry time. God can't do what he did back there because we're waiting on the prophet to get back. Or he'll push it the other way and say, oh, it's right there. It's right on the road. It'll be here before you know it. You know, and we're just sitting here walking around in circles going, wow, this is not really what I expected to be when I got to this message. Find out the truth is, the message already came.
Yes. Amen.
The revelation's already here.
Yeah.
And it's time for people to accept it and walk in it.
Amen, amen.
To not put things to it. To not take things away from it. The Word said the mystery of God would be finished. And if you believe Christ said it was finished on the cross, and you can put faith in that, then you have to put faith that the revelation of the Word is finished.
Amen.
And as you walk closer to the Lord, you begin to see, as I said before, if I got up to the throne of God with the message of the hour in this time, and you said, what would you ask God? The more you think about it, the more you go, I already know what His answer would be, because He's already told me in the Word.
Amen.
Lord, why'd you let so many people go to hell? I already know the answer to that. He didn't let nobody go to hell. They went to hell on their own accord.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Lord, why'd you love me? He didn't love me in the flesh in the first place. He loved Himself in me, and that makes sense to me now. Before, I would have said, man, why did He love me? Because,
right.
In ourselves, in our flesh, in our own thinking, in our own spirit, even before we were converted, we had nothing good to offer God. You still don't in that.
Right.
The only thing you can offer God is what He gave you. Just give it back.
Amen.
That's all He wants, is your faith to take what He gave you and give it back to Him. How do you do that, brother? Well, He said, these signs follow them that believe. So I will go lay my hands on the sick. I will give back the Word that He said back to him in faith in Jesus Christ's name and expect it to happen.
Amen.
That's good. That's good. Amen.
That's the son or daughter of God.
Amen.
I don't plan on being too long on this. I think I'm hoping you begin to see what Brother Brandon was getting at. Is that, yes, the first deal, you could just go through and say, oh, okay, why horse rider? That's the Antichrist. Lion went out to go against that. Sure, yeah, I understand that now. No, that wasn't the early church.
Right.
But the bride of Christ sees something different.
Yes.
They see the lion. That's Christ.
Uh-huh.
That's how He acts. They see the truth behind it. Not just some theology like, oh, yeah, look at history. Oh, that's real good. That makes good sense. No, it's something deeper than that. That's His character.
Amen.
Sure.
That's how God deals with false doctrine.
Amen.
He doesn't sit and have little councils about it. Say, now, well, we know Brother So-and-so is here, so we don't want to say nothing about, Perusia. Let's leave that for another minister's meeting. I can't stand it. If truth is truth, say it.
Amen.
If they don't want it, guess what? You're not the bride.
Amen.
Show me when Jesus held back the Word because He was afraid He'd offend someone. Show me when the apostles did the same thing. And there comes a time and place to say, you're of your father, the devil. Now, most people want to say that right when they meet somebody. Oh, hi, serpent seed. Nice to meet you.
Oh, my.
And it's a shame. Remember Paul one time, he was bothered by that woman over and over, day in and day out. He didn't just go spouting off at his lips. He waited. And he toiled. He said it to the point where he was just so grieved. He couldn't take anymore. He said, you child of the devil. Get out of here. Leave us alone. And it didn't just sit there. It left, all right? That's a man of God now. And the seventh seal. The seventh seal specifically was given only for the bride.
That's it.
In this time. It will come around. Brother Branham says it, and I'll get to that in a later time. But he says the seventh seal ends the seven church ages. It ends the seven seals. It ends the seven trumpets. It ends time itself. Why? Because you'll begin to realize that this seal was not, the whole point behind it was not just theology. It was showing you a person.
Amen.
And if you begin to see that this seal, once it's completely unveiled, you realize, oh, the whole point was Christ.
Amen.
Then you can see, oh yeah, Christ ends the seven church ages. Amen. Christ ends the seals. Christ ends the trumpets. Christ ends time. It makes sense now.
Amen.
But that revelation is not given to the public, because this hour right now is the time of the bride.
Amen.
And the only ones that can get the revelation that Christ is here is the bride, because they are packing Christ.
Amen.
The rest of the world ain't packing His life. They are packing His life. So when they talking about His physical body that will return, they're saying, He's here now because He's in me.
Amen.
The mystery of godliness that Christ is in us.
Amen.
The mystery among the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
This seal will, though, it'll come around to the Jews. The same as Brother Brandon says, the seventh trumpet, they'll recognize, hey, that really is Christ. That is the Messiah. And they'll have the same revelation that we have now. They can't have it yet because they don't get it until after the trumpets.
Right.
Right.
The rest of the world won't get it until the seventh seal in the whole world, which is after the sixth seal.
Amen.
But God in His mercy came around and knew that we needed to be raptured. So the seventh seal wasn't coming to pass in the physical realm. So He turned around and said, I'll give you the revelation though,
Amen.
So you can see who you are.
Hallelujah.
So you don't even have to go to that. I'll take you up here.
Yes. That's good. That's good. Amen.
Because sure, the revelation coming to pass. My, the revelation of the fifth seal's here. That don't mean it's coming to pass right now. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Two messengers. I don't think Moses and Elijah are walking around just yet. If we are, we're in trouble. That's the tribulation period. But the revelation was still given to us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But there will come a fulfillment of those things. And when that seventh seal, which is Christ Himself, remember He comes and He put His foot on the land.
Yes.
And on the sea and says, time is no more.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
The Bible never said that the rapture of Christ would be on earth. So we meet Him up in the sky.
That's exactly right. Amen.
So the seventh seal coming to earth doesn't happen until all is fulfilled. Do you understand? But we get to bypass all of that and go be with the seventh seal.
Amen.
Now.
Amen. Amen. Right now. Amen.
This is a very scriptural principle though. Let's turn our Bibles. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 9. Jesus just got done telling the parable of the seed sower. How the man threw seed. He just threw it everywhere. He gave the word to anyone that wanted it.
Sure.
And it fell on this ground, fell on that ground, fell on this ground. And he gets done and he doesn't explain it. He just said it and he moved on. And he said, verse 9, But who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said unto Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
Is it?
So why couldn't God do the seventh seal the exact same way? He said, I've given the mystery of God to my elect. I've preached the word to the world. But the real revelation behind it of what it's all about, I only give to one group. That's the elect. And we can go and let's even deal with that for a minute. Predestination versus your free moral agency, they go hand in hand now. But we do know that God, He fulfills His will the way He wants to. So when it comes down to it, yeah, it's God's choosing. But the reason He chose you is because He knew what you would do with the word.
Amen.
He knew you wouldn't take it like Balaam and just use it for your own profit and then just whatever, let him go and sin. It doesn't matter as long as I get some money out of this. Won't do it like Cain, who just took it and turned his back on it and said, I don't care what you got to say. You're not just God. Why are you punishing me? You know I don't really understand it. He didn't have that kind of attitude. The bride doesn't have that kind of attitude. She has, yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Give me the word. I accept it. And that's the real sign that you're a real believer. That's the word test. If you preach the word to them, can they respond to it? And it's not God's fault you don't respond to it. It's your fault. You have your choice. You can choose to respond to the word or not. Don't you try to point your finger at God. I mean, you can go ahead and try it, I suppose. But when you get on judgment throne, as I told many of my students, you go ahead and try that and we'll see if it works. I'm pretty sure when you get in the presence of that light, as that man said, he said, I thought them little bitty lies that I had done weren't nothing. They were great big and black there. You think you're going to be able to boldly say, God, you're unjust? No, you're going to be crying for mercy because you know what's coming.
Amen.
It's just the same in this country. My, if the president came to your house and said, we're going to take everything you have and we're going to kick you out here, you can try to argue all you want. It ain't going to do no good because he has more authority than you do in this nation. How much more when we get to the throne of God? Now look, I ain't talking about you being in that group. Did I say that? No. I'm telling you what the world will end up as. But there, when the authority comes down, the authority was given unto the sons of God.
Amen.
The same as Christ had when he walked on earth. He demonstrated that authority so we would know how to walk like him. And that's why in the end time we had to know who he was.
Amen.
Because we are a part of him. If I'm a part of Christ and Christ is not fully revealed, then I am not fully revealed. Because most people think that Jesus is just the man that walked on the shores of Galilee, that that's all of God, and it was at one time. But then the Spirit came back, remember, and it poured itself out. We began to realize there's a part of Christ that's Paul.
There's a part of Christ that's Peter. There's a part of Christ that's James Kressel. That's Kent Roush. That's Susanna Joel. There's a part of Christ that we didn't think would be Christ because we are too busy looking on the outside. Going, look at these faults and failures. Look at these things they've done. That can't be Christ. But we realize that there was a life on the inside that had to be quickened. And that's why the Holy Spirit came to quicken that life and show that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, right now, and forever.
Glory!
And as they walked in the church ages, oh my, they might have had a little light into that, but they didn't really understand it. There's no way to. My, before the opening word came to me, I couldn't really tell you who Jesus was. I couldn't tell you how he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. But as the word begins to open, because the word again is not just this book, it is him. As he begins to unveil himself through the words that he's already spoken, you begin to see, oh, it was Christ in David. It was Christ in Moses. It was Christ when Christ came. That was the fullness of God. And then God made the provision so that he could make us as holy as he is.
Amen.
And he wasn't even transforming this flesh. He was uncovering the seed behind it.
Amen.
Do you understand? The blood destroys sin.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
And if he's destroying sin, there's got to be something behind there. Amen. Or it's just, there's no purpose, right?
Right.
Why is it revelation if there's nothing there to reveal?
Sure.
The seventh seal. Let's even read down there. Verse 15. Go down to verse 15 there in Matthew 13. For the people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing. Remember, ears dull of hearing as we read in Hebrews? So we have many things to say, but you're dull of hearing. And the main reason you're dull of hearing is because you don't even hear the word. You don't come to church. You don't read your Bible. You don't read the message. You don't spend time in prayer. You're not hearing the word. Yes, you're going to be dull of hearing because you're never in a condition to receive the word unless you're in the atmosphere of the word.
Amen, amen.
But as you begin to stay in the atmosphere of the word, then your ears begin to open. You begin to hear, yes, that's me. It's not the bride out there. It is I am a part of the bride.
Yes, Lord.
As Noel Johnson told me of a man, I believe he was in India, because he's a missionary over there, said a man, he asked him, he said, where does God dwell? And he said, in his bride. And he said, what are you a part of? He said, I'm a part of the bride. He said, where does God dwell? In his bride. What are you a part of? I'm a part of the bride. Could not get the connection. Look, if I'm a part of the bride, and God dwells in the bride, that means God dwells in me.
Amen.
Yes, right. Sir.
That's right.
That's what the seventh seal came to do. Because until that, you have what that man has. Oh yeah, the bride, this thing that I never can seem to attain to, never really, I mean, I'm hoping I'm a part of it. We ain't here to hope. We're here to know.
Yes. Amen.
There's the bride. And I'm kind of here. And maybe I'm good enough. And maybe it'll all work out. No, no, now the revelation comes. This is what it's all about. Me.
Amen.
Yes.
You.
That's good.
Believers.
Amen.
Because until you get the revelation of it, what good does it do to try to share it with somebody else?
Amen.
You're just going to make a mess out of it. You're going to put your own interpretation to it. And we don't want to be that way. We just want to say what the message is said. Verse 15, let me finish that. For their people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Where did it say God closed their eyes? They closed them because they didn't want it. Remember he said, You Pharisees and stuff, not only do you not go in the door, you try to make sure nobody goes in there.
Right.
What kind of damnation is it for those kind of people? Those that say, well, I've got the revelation, but, you know, it's just too hard for you to grasp it. You need to be in the message this long and study it as I have. And no, no, no. The second you do that, you are a Nicolaitan.
That's right.
And God hates that.
Amen. Right.
Very few things can you point out and say that God hated this. He hated Esau. And the book of Proverbs said there was seven things or eight things or something like that he hates. And then he came around and said, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Mm-hmm. I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I hate anything that has to do with that.
That's right.
Because once you take that, you have negated the cross. Because in the Old Testament, they had Nicolaitanism. That's what God's ordained system was. Look, the devil is trickier than we give him credit sometimes. He took an ordained order of God and misplaced the timing of it.
Right.
And that's all he had to do. Because that's what they had in the Old Testament. They had priests. The same as the Catholic Church does now.
Sure.
They would give sacrifices. Oh, they changed it into candles and penances and all these other things. It's the same principle, though. Get a sacrifice. Oh, now you're forgiven. Go.
But God, that wasn't his perfect will. That was permissive until the fullness of time came.
Amen.
Then he himself stepped down and began to reveal, this is my purpose, that I might have personal fellowship with my body.
Amen.
With the bride. And not even you and the other part of the bride. He wants intimate, personal fellowship with every part of the bride.
Amen.
You are just as important as any other person in the bride of Christ. Don't ever let the devil diminish you down and say, you only can have this much revelation because you're this, you're that. No, no, no. You are the product of Jesus Christ. You are why he came to earth. You are the reason that he chose to die for the sins
Amen.
Of the whole world. Because he knew not everybody's going to receive this. So though he did pay for it, he had an intention in his heart. What was it? The joy set before him. Those that would make it. God didn't make us to destroy us. He made us to have fellowship with us.
Amen.
And you can prove that right there in the book of Genesis. Why was Eve created? Because Adam needed some fellowship.
Yes, sir.
She didn't come from out here now. She came right out of Adam so he could have perfect fellowship. And Christ wanted fellowship because that is God Almighty. Now, don't you make him some other person. That's still the Almighty God made flesh. And he said, I desire fellowship with those that have my character, those that have my fellowship.
Amen, amen.
Because if you don't agree, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And how could God have real fellowship with people that ain't him? How could the Word have fellowship with something that ain't the Word? Because the second you leave the Word, you've got the devil.
Amen.
One word off too. Don't. It ain't no little. It ain't taking out the book of Isaiah. It's changing one little word. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, and then you put in parentheses, really the eighth angel, the mystery of God should be finished. People do that. They do that. Don't you kid yourself. They'll try to say that Brother Branham is Malachi 4, and then say that this other man is still here to reveal the message. That's what Malachi 4 came to do.
Amen.
So if you really want to solidify your doctrine, you need to deny Brother Branham. So you can really establish this man as Malachi 4. People say that about, you know, Brother Branham will say things like, if I'm not him, I'm laying the foundation for him to come. But if you read those quotes, he's talking about Malachi 4. So how can you say he's Malachi 4, but he's talking about somebody else that he's saying would have to be Malachi 4? You're contradicting your own doctrine.
Yes.
And that's what will happen the second you leave the Word. Now look, you might not just be able to intellectually think it up, but if you'll just sit back, when you hear that little buzzer come off, when somebody tries to tell you something that they think is some great revelation that doesn't make any sense to you, just sit back for a little while and watch the Lord begin to show you where it's wrong.
Amen.
Because of that little error, all it does is, yeah, it might not look like nothing right now. Remember we talked about when Christ left, they said he left the throne for the seventh seal. Remember I told you about that? They said there was silence in heaven because Christ had left the throne to come to earth. And somebody in me said, nah, sounds all right, but there's something wrong with that. Then as the Lord began to show, oh my, did he leave the throne when he came the first time?
Sure.
When was there silence in heaven when he came the first time? How come the Spirit, how come the voice still spoke out of heaven when he was on earth?
Amen.
God's showing you that he really did come the same way you and I do.
Amen.
He really came in a form like unto sinful flesh.
Yes.
Not glorified, not given superpowers. He came in a way just like you and me where we could doubt, if we want to, who we really are.
Right.
He had the choice to, remember?
Yeah.
He said, if you be the Son of God,
right,
take these stones and make them bread. He had a chance to doubt it.
Yeah.
But proving that he really was the genuine Word, he couldn't doubt it.
Amen.
There was something in it.
Amen.
Yeah, I know that's true. Man, there was only one promise that he was going to come back up after a few days. You remember that? He said, I will not leave his soul in hell, neither will I let his body see corruption. And Christ had to know, that Word is speaking of me.
Amen.
And when the Bible says he'll have a church that's glorious and without spot or wrinkle,
Amen.
If you can, you got to have the revelation. That is speaking
yes.
of
yes,
me.
Lord.
When Brother Branham was able to see past the curtain of time and he saw those millions coming, you have to say, I was standing out there.
That's right.
Coming up that hill saying, glory to God, our precious brother.
Amen.
How do you know that? Would you do it now?
Yeah.
That's a good sign you'd do it there, wouldn't you? My, if I saw the prophet, I'd just thank him and I'd sure have a few questions for him, you know. Well, aren't you grateful that God knew exactly what we needed? People are looking for this, looking, oh, maybe we need one more message. I've already received the message of the hour.
I have, amen.
Amen.
Verse 15, let me finish that. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes, excuse me, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their excuse me, hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted. There's your predestination with those that can be converted right there. The only ones that can be converted are those that can see it.
Amen.
That can first see, I'm a sinner, and then can see there's an atonement, and then can see that's because I'm a part of the bride. And I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Brother Branham talking about this. Says, what was the opening? This is Christ's mystery in his own word. Christ is revealed in his own word. Sorry. What was the opening of the seven seals to do? Were all these denominations staggering about in this? Is to reveal, bring out. If you haven't got any eyes, then what's the use to reveal? But there has to be eyes first to see. Proving that this was the predestination of Almighty God. God knowing he had elect in every age.
Yes.
And he fulfilled his word because it said, unless the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it comes back up and it has many fruits. And Christ did that first. At Pentecost came up that first Alpha Bride, the fruit that God wanted, the fruit he intended. But then came in the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and that seed died again and went back. But God said, I will restore, saith the Lord, the years that the cankerworm, the palm worm, all these denominations have ate out of this word. I will restore it.
Amen.
And it began to restore it. And we began to see Luther bring up some leaf, and it looked a little bit more than something that's just in the dirt. You can't tell. My, they look like sinners just like everybody else. Because underneath the dirt, you can't tell if there's life there or not. But let a seed come out, then you go, but there's life in that somewhere.
Amen.
Luther had a pipe. He was still cussing. He was mad. But you could tell there's a life in him somewhere because he's standing against the whole nation to stand for this truth of justification by faith. Now we begin to watch it fruition a little bit more and people living clean and holy and getting rid of all that filthiness in the Lutheran age. The Wesleyan age. It looks a little bit closer, but then it has to come. And Pentecostals, Brother Branham, as he preached, the shuck is not air with the seed. The seed is not air with the shuck. The shuck looks so close. It deceived the very elect if it was possible. And people wonder why people are deceived in this time. The shuck looks like the seed. So the seed looks like the shuck. That's a good test for me to know if anything's going on in your life. Well, they had speaking in tongues, they had power, they had healings, they had prophecy. You have none of these. The seed is supposed to at least, you know, if the shuck looks like the seed, I guess the seed looks like the shuck a little bit.
Yep,
what was
point.
The difference? What was the difference? The life behind it. Because God, his main intention is, why do you do what you do?
Amen.
What we do, the situations would change. There's so many variables, we can't keep up with it, but God does.
Amen.
And what's the real thing? He breaks it down all the way down to your most inner being. And when it comes to judgment day, if you happen to stand there, you have no room to talk. She'll go, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's exactly why I did that. You might not even know it. He'll be able to put it up there on the big screen and show it. This is exactly what you're doing. But the bride of Christ, she's got a desire on the inside.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
To follow Christ. Wherever he is. Because that's the nature within them. They're not putting it on one or Wednesdays and Sundays and wearing some other coat the other 5 days. It's just who they are. The life within them is the same that was in Christ because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God has given us eyes to see these things. And what did Jesus say? Blessed are ye when you see these things. We should not take this for granted. Look, people, you know how many people can't see serpent seed in any measure whatsoever?
Amen.
You know how many people can't see the water baptism, even though you can read it right to them and they go, yep, that makes sense. But for some reason, they won't get baptized themselves because they can't receive it. Because their nature is different. Blessed are your eyes when they see what the Word is really saying. Blessed are your ears when you hear what the Word is really saying. It's not, that word wasn't just because of the pastor for Brother Saul. That word was to me.
Amen.
God is speaking to me. God wants me to walk with Him.
Amen.
God wants to heal the sick through me. God wants to live in my being.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you.
That's when you know you got ears to hear. But what keeps people from seeing it? It's not God doing it. People close their own eyes. And what is it? Because God does it in a way that perfectly matches His character, but not the image people think He is.
That's right.
People think that God is a big brute. Most people do. They think he just pushes people around. He sent his word down because he wanted you to conform to his ways or die. You know, my way or the highway. And that's not the way it worked. It was, this is the only way or you're going to die. It was just a matter of fact. The Lord said, this is the only way to get out. I've already paid for it. I've already sent you the tickets right here on the word. I already sent my voice to ring on the intercom saying flight leaving at this time. And I've sent the warnings and warnings and warnings to you. And people walking around, and you can see in this day now, they got their earphones on 24/7.
Sure.
Because they're so busy listening to what feeds what they are, they can never even hear the voice of God. It's not God's fault, it's their fault.
Amen.
They want God to, man, if God was going to meet with me, he'd send a lightning bolt down right in front of me and say, do this or you'll perish. They don't want him to go through some sweaty, spitting preacher, tell him the same thing. But that's what he said, didn't he? He said, those that are saved by the foolishness of preaching. God's foolishness outdo man's wisdom every time. Who would have thought, yeah, I'm going to use a bunch of people that I know aren't worthy. I'm going to go through this process to wash them clean and give them my spirit. I'm going to depend on them to fulfill the word. Seems a little foolish, doesn't it? Why don't he just step down and do it all himself? He did. But he left a part of the word, which we know is himself in us, to reveal or to express what he is in this time.
Amen.
God hiding himself in simplicity and then revealing himself in the same. If you didn't know, before Brother Brandon preached the seals, he preached that message. God has revealed his simplicity.
Yes,
he's hidden in simplicity, and that's how he reveals himself. After the seals, I think it's maybe a week or two after, he preached it again.
Yes, he did.
And if you want a sermon to know how to get to the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
Go listen to that one
Amen.
Time. Brother Branham, man, we just need to humble ourselves sometimes, I think. Brother Branham said, maybe I'm just not good at doing this. Maybe we'll have this brother. He's pretty good at getting people the Holy Ghost. He had him come up. He said, you take it, brother. Prophet of God. Malachi 4 said, this brother can lead people the Holy Ghost better than me, maybe. Let him go up there.
Yeah, that's right.
My, let me read this to you. God hid himself, hiding himself in simplicity. God will hide himself in something so simple that'll cause the wise to miss it a million miles and then turn right back around in that some simple thing in the simplicity of his way of working to reveal himself right out again. I thought it made a text that we might study this before we go into the great teaching of the seven seals. Many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Not that God didn't reveal himself, not that God didn't open all seven seals, but the way he did it. They don't like it.
Sure.
Even that seventh seal, I've heard complaints about that. Man, what a disappointment Brother Branham did to those people. They had all been under expectation, ready to hear, and then he stopped. That carnal mind, a million miles away from the truth.
Right.
Yeah, Brother Branham, he just didn't want to give it. He said, my, I can see it, but I just can't. He's telling me to stop. As we'll get into it, he didn't tell the prophet forever to stop. He began to show these things, all the rest of the message.
Amen.
And the more I study this, the more I realize all these sermons had the same intent behind them.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
From 63 to 65, I'll tell you what, you can find quotes that say the same thing in 20 messages because the message has come.
Right.
The revelation of the seventh seal is here.
Yes,
and it is who Christ is.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Let's read this scripture here. Matthew 28:20. I'll finish up here soon, Lord willing. Enjoying the word this morning. Is it making sense to you? That's what we're here to do, that the word might be applicable to our lives. That we wouldn't take, as I explained, that man told me, man, some people listen to this message and they get seven seals and blah, blah, and all these things. It shouldn't be that way. We should hold these things delicately and go, there's a reason we have the seven seals. There's a reason we know who is this Melchizedek. And if you don't, just leave it alone. Don't say things like that, because people, they think you're being intellectual just because you're studying the Word of God. Or you study the message, you're just an intellectualism. Maybe I'm actually curious about what my inheritance is really all about.
Amen.
And you got people that'll research every single car in the nation to try to find the best one. But they won't search the Bible to see all the promises that we have.
Amen.
Where's your life at here?
Same with, we can do, I'm doing it with a house almost, looking up every single house you can find. But that doesn't mean anything compared to finding out all the promises of God that I can have in my life.
Amen.
Matthew 28, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. John 14, 20. John 14, 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Brother Branham says this many times, and I've heard critics say this too. He'll say, I'll be with you even in you until the end of the world. You go, well, that's not a direct scripture, but from what I just read to you, is that not the truth anyhow? He said, I'll be with you to the end of the world. Then he says, at that day you'll know that I am in you.
Amen.
What's the difference then? I can't stand when people, that carnal mind, I tell you what, when the Spirit of God begins to show you how foolish that carnal mind is, what good does it do to pick on Brother Ram because he said that? What good does that do your experience with God? How are you going to walk closer because you want to nitpick about this and nitpick about that? And let's go ahead and let's get on his accent and the way he said words, and let's go ahead and nitpick his whole life and dedicate. You know how many people dedicate their entire life to destroying Brother Branham's influence?
Sure.
They don't have a life outside of it. That's all they can do. Why? Because as Jambres and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these of reprobate minds.
Right.
How foolish would it have been for those musicians. This man is bringing locusts down upon our entire nation. Why are we even tempting to do this? Why don't we just repent? The reprobate minds resisting the truth. And they're here in this day, not in the Pentecostals, not out there, in this message of the hour. You better believe Satan's got his ministers in this message. To twist it, to put it off on another day, put it back in time. The real bride of Christ knows it's false. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you don't have that revelation, it's the foundation work for everything else, is that God cannot change his character. What he was, how he acts, is the way he does in every situation.
Exactly.
And if you apply that to your life, instead of applying it in some other way that ain't scriptural, you'll have victory in Christ. Tell me one time God turned down somebody that wanted him.
Never. Amen.
Show me one time God said, nope, not healing you today, get out of my presence. Those that were sincere hearts, and I believe I'm in a group of sincere people that want to hear from God.
Amen.
And God is telling you, I love you. I take care of you. I know what goes on in your life. Why did Austin decide to reach over right when that car hit them?
Uh-huh.
The angel of the Lord encamps about us that fear him.
Sure.
And not fear us trembling, those that respect him because you love him like that.
Amen.
You can't love somebody and not respect him at the same time. It goes hand in hand.
Right.
Aren't you glad that Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the world? Because we wouldn't even have looked at those seven circles, remember? And remember, the Spirit of God painted the last one completely black. Do you remember that?
Right.
Brother said that it was completely black. Because Laodicea down here on earth will go all the way to complete apostasy.
Amen.
There'll be no one left. That's why the prophet said, but the message of this hour, there's a little light in there. Why? Because the seventh seal came back over here to give the revelation to the bride that little bit of white could leave before Laodicea ran out.
Amen.
You think only 3.5 years left right after we get out of here.
Right.
That's not very much time for there to be any light in that circle, is there?
Right.
Praise the living God.
Hallelujah.
Let me read this as I close this morning. Uniting time, 63. And we see the nations uniting. We see the world uniting. We see the churches uniting. We see the bride uniting. Uniting with the Word. Don't make uniting just because we all get along and we all like football or we all like basketball or fishing or what, hunting, game. It doesn't matter. That's not what it is. Uniting with the Word.
Amen.
I got a friend named Jonathan Baumgartner. When it comes to things we like in this life, we ain't got one thing in common. I can't think of one thing we both, maybe golf. I think he golfs some. That's about the only thing in life we have in common. But the Word has a bond that supersedes all that. Supersedes all that. You ain't never going to get me wanting to go fishing very often. I'll tell you that right now, brothers. But when you're one with the Word, I want to be with you anyways. I'll go fishing with you anyways just because I want to be in fellowship with the Word.
Amen.
And I'll suffer myself. Get a little fish goo on my hands or whatever, as long as I can be with the Word. Uniting time. The bride is to unite with the Word. The bride is not going to be some universal movement. It is individuals that unite with the Word. And as they unite with the Word, they will unite with one another because they're all being part of the same body.
Amen.
They will all pack the same revelation.
Yes.
What this seventh seal really is. And what all the seals are really dealing with. And I will go into this. Christ's mystery got revealed. He says, it's a different message. He said, Christ is those seals.
Amen.
That's who He is. Those seven seals, it said it was on the book of life. Who's the book of life? Christ. Let me finish this quote. Uniting with the Word. Why? The Word is God. Now listen carefully. Hold on a few more minutes here this morning. And as the Word, as the bridegroom being the Word, and the bride being the hearer of the Word, they come together in a union. They unite like a wedding, see? They're getting ready for a wedding and they become one. The Word become you. You become the Word. Jesus said, at that day, what we just read there, you know what? All the Father is, I am. And all I am, you are. And all you are, I am. And that day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, at that day. What day? This day.
Amen.
We find out the great hidden mysteries of God being revealed. Oh, how I like that.
Amen.
People don't want to talk about the deep things. You know, that's you know, theologians and all. He said, how I like that. The revelation of the seven seals in this hour.
Amen.
The Bible says that the things that He revealed are given. Let me just read that real quick as I close. I'm pretty sure I know where it's at. You all pray for me, make sure I'm not mistaking myself. Yes, praise God. I remembered one scripture this morning. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us, to our children, forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And what law are we under? The law of love. The law of the liberty of the Spirit of Christ, present tense in our lives. Let's stand together this morning. So if somebody wants to tell you the seventh seal ain't open, you can say, well, maybe for you it's not, because that's very possible. It might not be open to you. You might not know who Christ is. But that doesn't mean you can't have the revelation of what the seventh seal is all about. God has not withheld His Word from us. He's given it to us freely, so we receive it and let it live in us. Let's bow our heads this morning. You feel anything this morning? Might be confusing you. God is no author of confusion. Bow your heads, please. God is an author of peace, of love, of joy. And as we go into these things, it's very, very easy for the devil to begin to say, well, that was really good, but that's not you. That has nothing to do with you. You're over here in the tribulation period. You're over here in those that are going to go to the lake of fire. He begins to whisper those things in your ear. Look, it's not time to be listening to the devil's lies. It's time to let God show you who you are.
Amen.
And as He shows you that, it is progressive. He begins to show you more and more and more, because this revelation will never end. Christ is eternal. Never stop. Never beginning. Never ending. There will always be more to fall in love with as we get over that side.
Yes, Jesus.
If you desire a closer walk with the Lord, I believe He'll give it to you this morning. If you need some doubts to fly away, I believe He'll let them go if you let go of them. Let's just pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word. We thank You for opening it up in this last day, that we wouldn't have to walk around blind. You said, blessed are Your eyes, for we see. Thank You, Lord, for giving us sight this morning, knowing that in ourselves, but we didn't have anything to offer. We didn't even know where to go. But Lord, You in Your mercy sought us out. You came after us. It was never us seeking You. You sought us. And we're grateful this morning. We want to praise You and thank You for loving us and coming after us and dying for us. And then Lord, when we walked in a world in denominational confusion,
You didn't leave it that way, but Lord, you came and opened up all those seals to show us the truth behind the Word. That we were always in the Word. That we were always with you, and that's why you loved us. We thank you, Lord, for these truths. I pray it would live in every heart this morning. If there be any sickness here, I pray that people would recognize that you have paid for that sickness. Any desire on our hearts, you said, ask abundantly that your joy may be full. I pray that people would walk in faith and take every promise of God on their lips and say, amen to the Word of God. We commit our lives unto you, Lord. Make us better servants to you. Make us more diligent of what the things you've shown us, Lord. Let us not be lax, let us not be lazy, but let us, Lord, be soldiers on the battlefield. Equip each one, I pray. Give them the desires of their hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Sing Psalm 300 just any day now. Our Lord is coming. It's number 300 if you don't know it.
Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. For I've been watching and I've been
sing it again with all hearts now.
Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. For I've been watching.
Oh, you're watching for His coming. Hallelujah.
And I've been waiting just any day now. His face.
Oh, I'll sing it again. Every eye closed. Everybody looking to Jesus now.
Just any day now.
Yes, Lord God.
Our Lord is coming.
Expecting to see the Lord. Not even just, yeah, we need to see Him in us too, but one of these days we're going to be able to embrace our Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Just hand in hand.
Oh,
we won't have this body of flesh that gets tired and wants to do other things and tempt us away. No, no, no. We'll be in a body like unto His glorious body. We'll be able to just stay there in the presence of God that you feel this morning to a level you never thought was possible. And it'll always get better. It'll always go higher and higher. More love than we ever could express. How many of you see love, mercy, and grace in the eyes of God this morning? We'll see that. The same key.
I saw love, mercy, and grace. I saw love, mercy, and grace. I envision saw love, mercy, and grace. I saw love, I saw love, mercy, and grace. For I envisioned His day, I looked on His face. I saw love.
At 305, all hail King Jesus. Let's give Him praise. Let's do His name this morning.
All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And throughout eternity.